Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Tonight we're continuing on with our study on the patriarchs, and the first one, of course, is Abraham, friend of God, and we're going to be spending some time talking about him because his life is so rich and full, and the lessons, a lot of times when we study the people of the Bible, what we're really studying, what we're really after is what lessons can we learn without having to do what they did? What lessons do we learn from their life? So this one particular one is Abraham, friend of God. So we're going to do a very small bit of review. And by review, I want to say that it is great to be called a servant of God. It is great to be called a child of God. It is great for others to call us a friend of God. But there's something even greater, and that's for God to call us a friend of his. And that's what he did with Abraham. People called him a friend of God, but God himself. It's different, as I said, when I say that Janice is my friend than when Janice says she's my friend, too. And we want to be a friend of God. And God notices, and he knows if we are who we say that we are. And the question is not, what kind of a good friend is God to me? We already know that God is a good and faithful friend to us. But the question remains, are we loyal to God? Do we do the things that a friend does? Do we stand up for God? It is not the question that, is God a good friend of ours, and does he do what a loyal friend does? The question is, what is my response to that? Am I a loyal friend? When people bring up the name God in a restaurant, do I have God's back? Do I stand up, or do I kind of become ashamed of God? And of course, you know what the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But I want to be found a faithful friend. You know, real soon I'm going to be sharing a message that God's got your back. He's your rear guard. And when the enemy sneaks up behind you, God is always there to protect you, and he's there to defend you. And, you know, I want to tell you that God is no respecter of persons, and that means that we can all be friends of God. In fact, in the Bible, Jesus said, you are no longer my servants, for servants don't know what the master does, but I have called you my friends. Isn't that wonderful that God calls us his friends, that he does do that? And in having said that, I want to say this and go off just a second, that when we are a friend of God, that means we must love the people of God, the other people. We must be a friend to the hurting, to the broken, to the lost, and to other people, because they too are God's friends. Am I right? And I never understood why people will tell me that they just want to be a Christian unto themselves. They don't want to deal with other people. A lot of people will cut themselves off from God's people. And I would say to that, are you so perfect that you don't need the body of Christ? We're the family of God. And what is the message that you send to other people that you say, you know, you call yourself a Christian, and we send a message that someone is not good enough or perfect enough? Or it's a sad reality, actually, in Christendom. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. You know, we can't be exclusive. I would like to say it like this, because I taught a relationship class a couple years ago. Exclusion is demonic. Exclusion is demonic. When you see a situation where a group of people decide to purposely exclude someone, that is demonic. I seen that back in high school, and I will stand by that statement. Exclusion is demonic. We see it in race. We see it in people with imperfections and disabilities. We see it all over the nation, that people are excluded for different reasons because they don't measure up. God excludes no one. He excludes no one. He includes. He's inclusive. He loves everyone. It doesn't matter our gender, our sexual preference, whatever that may be. And you know what the Bible teaches on such stuff. But there is no, God is no respecter of persons. He loves every one of us. And so we want to be a friend of God. And Abraham was called a friend of God. I'm so glad for that. And, you know, we know that we're a friend of God because Isaiah 43:1 says, I have redeemed you and I have called you by name, and the Lord says, you're mine. And so I would say to that, if I belong to God, then I don't belong to the world, right? then I belong to God, period. And I should be willing to do the will of God. And so last week we talked about Abraham leaving, and he left. He was called at a very young age. The Bible actually says that he was called while he was still in Ur of the Chaldees. Many people thought he was only called in Haran after Terah died. That is not biblical. He was called actually himself. God was calling Abraham and Terah, his father. By the way, I forgot to mention last week, the name Terah means wanderer, and he lived up to that name, wanderer. And so you don't want to be out of the plan of God, and that means God is going to have to lead us. So Abraham was called at a young age, and Terah, for what reasons we don't know, he took his family, and we cannot have partial obedience in our life. Partial obedience is complete disobedience in God's kingdom. If you say, I'm just going to partially tithe, I'm just going to partially love my neighbor, I'm just going to go halfway, God's not interested in that. It's all or nothing at all. And so they had to be willing to do what God said. Terah took his family. He took Abram and Sarah and Lot, you know, and they left and they got as far as Haran. And Haran means a dry place or a crossroads. And here they are, and they settle down in the dry place. It doesn't matter. You're not where God has told you. You're not keeping moving forward, Terah. And he lived to be 205 years, and he died in a dry place. Now, let me tell you what that means. That means he died outside the promised land. He did not enter in. I want to enter in. I said something yesterday in the message. I don't want anything that is not of God. But if it is of God, I want everything. I mean everything, all of the promises of God that are in God's word. And sometimes we don't know what's in God's word, just like we don't read our insurance booklet, so we don't know that we don't have to pay the copay. I remember, Sandra, I shared this yesterday at the hospital. They're trying to get money from her for a copay, and I'm sitting there with money, and she and I'm like, no, we're not paying that, because we don't even know if we owe it. We need to know what is in the word of God, what the promises are, and if they're there, then we want to take hold and take claim on them. That's what we have to do. So Abraham was young when he was in Ur, and then he was called from Haran at the age of 75. And it's never too late. God wants to use you. And I want to say this. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God has not changed his mind about using you in his kingdom. He has not. He's not sorry that he called you by name, that you're the one he called. Wow, I made a mistake calling them. No, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And so God has blessed each of us with talents, with abilities. He's not going to take them back, but they're not yours to waste, are they? They're not yours to waste on earth. So we need to stop with the excuses that I'm too old. Abram was 75 years old when he made the decision to leave Haran. Now, I don't know what brought him to that decision, but it could have been the death of his father, could have been about anything. But at some point, someone who's in charge needs to make a decision. When you're in charge, when you're head of the family, what's your decision? When you have the opportunity to decide. So Abraham is now in charge, and God calls him, and he decides, I'm going all the way with God. I'm so glad that he gave us a lesson here. I'm going to leave the dry place, and I'm going to go forward into the promises of God, because that's what he was doing. And I'm going to trust the promises of God. Now, I want to read to you from Genesis 12, because we're going to start something a little bit new and take a turn here. And I'm going to take the time to read this. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing. And I will bless them who bless you. Do you know that people are blessed who bless you? And I will curse him that curse you. God will take care of the people who curse you and who put you down. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Do you know that God's going to bless you so that you can bless all the families of the earth? So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram, which was a problem, by the way, Lot is an issue. Okay, let's stop right here and say that Lot's an issue. And so taking Lot with him, and I'll explain that later in our studies. And Abram was 75 years old. You could have just said 75, when he departed out of Haran, the dry place, the crossroads, telling us it's never too late to start all over again. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, who should have been with him, and Lot, his brother's son, who should not have been with him, and all their substance and all that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. They had some other people with them. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they did go. I love that. They went ahead to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they did come. I love that. I'm going somewhere with God, and I get there. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Shechem unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was with them in the land. Okay, there's some Canaanites in the land here. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto your seed will I, that comes into play in the next few weeks, unto your seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. Not just like we would build this altar here, but to the Lord who actually appeared to him. So he saw God and said, unto your seed will I give this land. He built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. And he removed from there. He went to a mountain on the east of Bethel, house of bread and praise, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Now, something you're going to notice about Abraham throughout the study is he was building wells and altars. Dear God in heaven, let us build altars everywhere we go and dig wells. Thank you, Jesus. And Abraham journeyed, still going toward the south. Good job. Good job, Abram. Good job. Verse 10, we're taking a bad turn. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. We have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. God has told us to go to Canaan. We are at Canaan. Okay, God wants to use us. He wants to use us in the kingdom, right? But we have now fallen on hard times. What's our plan? Egypt? Okay, I want to say it like this. Haran was not God's plan, and I'm going to tell you something else tonight. Egypt was not God's plan either. Who told you to go to Egypt? Abram, I read this whole passage here, and I do not see at all where God told you to go to Egypt. What are you doing in Egypt? You are now out of the will of God. 5 minutes ago, one scripture ago, you were in the will of God. How does that happen? One wrong decision. That's exactly how it happens. One wrong decision to step out of the will of God, and you are in a bad, bad place. And so that is not a good thing at all. And we talked about it yesterday briefly, and I'm going to take the time to re-talk about it. Ruth and Naomi. First, it starts out Naomi, Elimelech, and also Mahlon and Chilion. There is a famine in the land. Same exact situation, which just means hard times, like we went through the pandemic. So there's a famine in the land, and they make a decision that. And by the way, they're in Bethel, the house of bread and praise. They're in God's house. They're in church. They're serving in the kingdom. They're with God's people. Let's put it that way. You are with God's people. You're with your people. And all of a sudden, times get hard. Like we fall on hard times and say Frida and Tony decide to pack up the U-Haul and all their fancy furniture and all their jewelry and all their stuff and say goodbye to us. We're going, we're leaving, we're getting out of here. You guys deal with your hard time, but we're not going to stay here. We're not going to help you. We won't go through this storm together because we're going to California, better place, wherever. God didn't tell them to do that. God didn't tell you to leave when hard times came. What about this, Abram? How about trust the God that led you to feed you? Trust if God can lead you, God can feed you. If he can lead you, he can feed you. So why are you following God? You're trusting God to lead you, but now you can't trust him to feed you. What is wrong with you, Abram? What is wrong with you? He's just human. I can just tell you, he's not flawed in any other way that we're not flawed. He is human as you and I. So he makes this decision to go to Egypt, and he almost knows, and I'm going to prove that to you, that it is not a good thing at all. But here's the thing. If God gives you a promise, he keeps his word. If God says he's going to bless us and he's going to provide for us and he's going to protect us, we can count on the promises of God, even in the hard times. Even if there's a famine, and you people can't get toilet paper, and you can't get your rice, and you can't get formula like we need. We talked about on the way over here in the car tonight. People couldn't get. We work together to help each other get the formula. We work together to help each other get the toilet paper. You know, I can remember coming over to the church, and Sandra can remember bringing toilet paper. We don't leave one another, and we don't leave God most of all, and we don't get out of the will of God. In fact, it's my instead of making an excuse to leave, we need to think of a reason to stay. And that reason is I'm in God's will. I know I am. I'm going through a hard time, but I'm worshiping. I'm going through a hard time. I'm still coming to church. I'm still obedient to God because that will bless us. We need to learn to stay steady. And the only time you need to leave is if you're in sin or if you find yourself in Moab or Egypt or Haran, then it is time to leave. But don't leave God and just because there's a hard time. And so Abram decides to go to Egypt, which God did not tell him to go to Egypt. And here's the situation that I find rather amusing, if I may. They had just left the land of idol worship, Ur of the Chaldees, right? And they had went to Haran. They're supposed to be in the promise. They're coming out of idol worship. And now he's in Egypt with a man. It's his title, not his name, Pharaoh. And can I present to you what Pharaoh does, what his religion is? Idol worship. It is idol worship. Egypt is a place of idol worship. You are going backwards. You're wrecking this all, Abram, but God it has not changed his mind. He wants to use Abram to bless people. And he's going to work with us. He's going to work with us like he worked with Jonah. And whatever happens, happens. And it was a serious famine. I will give him that. That's all I'm going to give Abram. That the Bible does say it was a very bad famine. But the harder the times, the more we need to stick together. And God will lead us. If God leads you to it, he will get you through it. If he leads you to it, he will get you through it. He will bring you. Let's say it this way. He will bring you through it. God will lead you and bring you through it. And so I see another problem because the Bible begins to take even a more ominous turn by saying that he's decided to sojourn there. And that means temporary roots. He's going to put down roots temporary, kind of like this is our vacation place, but we're going to stay a long time. But you can't be temporarily out of the will of God or in a place where God has not called you to, just like Elimelech. Because here's the thing with Elimelech. They stayed for 10 years. They were gone 10 years. That's a long time to be on vacation, isn't it? And it's a long time to be out of the will of God. And what happened? So you say, well, what happened in those 10 years that they were in Moab? Three people lost their lives is what happened because there's no healing in Moab. People say, why did they die in Moab? They don't believe in healing in Moab. It's as simple as that. They don't lay hands on you in Moab, and they don't anoint you with oil in Moab. There's no healing. So whatever happened to them, they just died. So it's as simple as that. 10 years out of God's will is way too long. But thank God that we can turn it around in 10 seconds. We can turn it. That's the bad news if you say, well, Pastor Pam, you're talking to me. I've been 10 years away from God. Well, in 10 seconds, we can get that straight, and we can make a new decision to get you right back on track and headed in the right direction, and every step you take from the time you make that decision will be a step of blessing. It will be a step that leads you closer and closer to the blessing. So how much trouble, this is my question of the night, do you have to go through, and how far do you have to go before we decide, I will obey God. I am going to do things God's way, Yahweh instead of my way. Let's do it Yahweh's way. And so here's the situation. It came to pass when he had come near to enter into Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife, behold, listen up, Sarah. I know that you're a beautiful woman to look at. He's flattering her, by the way, flattering her. And verse 12 says, therefore it shall come to pass. This is what's going to happen, my beautiful wife. When the Egyptians, the idol-worshipping Egyptians, that Pharaoh's their leader, I'm going to say it like that, when they see you, they're going to say, this is his wife. And they would have been correct. And they're going to kill me. Not you, Sarah, me. Self-preservation, we see immediately. Self-preservation. It's all about me. It's all about me. I don't want to get hurt. Then why are you in Egypt? Why are you with Pharaoh? Why are you not where you're supposed to be, Abram? So, Sarah, could you do me this favor? Say, could you say this? I beg you, I pray you, thou art my sister. You are my sister, so that it may go well with me, and for my sake and my soul shall live because of you. You're going to help keep me alive, Sarah, not God. I'm not looking to God to keep me alive. Noah, he said, I pray, Sarah, you might do this. Your praying buddy should be to God, not to Sarah. You shouldn't be asking Sarah, could you save my life? You need to be obedient to God, and he will save your life. And so I think this was kind of sad and also funny, by the way, that Abraham, in the strangest of ways, he kind of knew what was coming. Have we ever made decisions and knew we were making a wrong decision? We didn't want to be over. Being in God's will and doing what God tells me is hard. It's hard. I've fallen on hard times. It's not going well. But I can tell you, not serving God, it will be even worse. If you think, and I've had people tell me this, it's so hard for me to serve God and do what's right. You just try not serving God, and let me tell you about hard times. They're only going to get harder and harder. But Abraham almost knew, because he was already getting concerned, and he should have been, because he's not in the will of God. I should be concerned. And he's telling her that if you will just lie to these people, you can save my life. Now, first of all, these pharaohs were not known to be kind, wonderful, gentle people. There are times that if you had lied to Pharaoh, your head would have come off. So you're telling Sarah to now put herself at risk so that you might be able to live. He isn't using wisdom at all, and he doesn't really have any excuse when things fall apart, just like you and I. He's telling her that by her lying, she can save his life. Wow, Sarah, you're going to be one. Not only are you beautiful, you can save my life. And he knows that he could be killed. So why are you doing it? Why are you doing this? But Abram is trading a lesser problem, the famine, for a greater problem, being out of God's will. And if you find yourself having to lie and say, she's my third cousin from Texas, then you're on the wrong track. You're already in serious trouble. He's outside the will of God, and he doesn't have any idea what the consequences are about to be. There is always consequences. I've said this. If we are the people of God and we are blood-bought and redeemed, we will never suffer the punishment of sin, because the punishment of sin is death and hell. However, we will suffer the earthly consequences of our sin, because in the strangest of ways, the consequences of sin, when I put my hand on that hot iron, the consequence of that, not hell, but causes me to not want to make that same mistake again. If I should decide to rob a bank, will I go to hell? If I'm a Christian, I will not go to hell. Will I go to prison? Yes, I will. 20 years, whatever the judge says. That's supposed to bring me back to God. That is actually God's mercy. Like my classic is always, poor old Jonah, he's always my target. The consequences did what they were supposed to do. He didn't cry out to God before that. In fact, he did something else. But when he was in the deep of the belly, in the dark, then he cried out to God. That was the consequence. And God still did use him. So Abraham was trading a lesser problem. And God gives us a free will to make our own. Why did he let Abram do it? Because he gives us a free will. But there's something even better than a free will. It's God's will. It's God's will. If I freely go along with God's will. Verse 14 says, And it came to pass. Remember, Abram said it was going to come to pass. And now verse 14 says, and it did come to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians, just like he said, beheld the woman, that she was very beautiful. So there's no denying she was beautiful. The princes also of Pharaoh, the idol-worshipping leader of the land, saw her, and they recommended her. Some commentators say commended, some Bibles translations, but it was actually the word recommended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Not she was invited to Pharaoh's house. Now, this is critical. Nobody invited her. Would you like to come to my house, Pharaoh? I'm Pharaoh. I'm the leader. I'm the president here. No, she was taken. She was taken. Now, I'm wondering how Abram feels about all of this mess. Sarah, his wife, his beautiful wife, whom he supposedly loved, as you would, is a captive in the king's house. She's now entered into the harem of an idol-worshipping Pharaoh. Verse 16 says, and some of you have heard me teach this. I taught this in 2016, long time ago, but it seems like yesterday. And Pharaoh treated Abraham very well for her sake. He thought she was beautiful and awesome and all that, and probably had plans to make her a wife someday. And he had sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And I said it a few years ago like this, and I'll say it the same way. Sarah is a prisoner in Pharaoh's harem, but it is Christmas at Abraham's house. The big trucks are pulling up. The Amazon Prime truck is pulling up with all of the gifts. The cattle, we've got cattle. We've got all kinds of things. Abram, you're getting truckloads of gifts every single day. It is a great time for Abram. What about Sarah? I would be fuming. Literally fuming. But Abram doesn't seem to care much. But guess who does care about Sarah? God. God cares about Sarah, and God's going to intervene in the situation. Thank God when other people let us down and sell us out and betray us and do what's sin against us, that God will intervene, and God cares for us. And when loved ones have let you down, God's help is on the way. He sees the problem. And verse 17 says, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. The reason Pharaoh got in trouble was for Sarah's sake, not for Abraham's sake, for Sarah's sake. Girls, God's got your back. God's got your back. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. I love it. And Pharaoh called Abram, and he said, he rang him on the phone. Hello, Abram, Abram, what have you done to me? What have you done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? How is it that he gets what Abraham doesn't get? Wow, why aren't you telling the truth? You know, I've seen this in real life before where Christians do something and people are like, why did you do it? Why'd you do it? I didn't expect that from you. But thank God that God cares. But he got busted mainly. And so he said, why did you say she's your sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now, therefore, look at your wife. Behold your wife. Look at her. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh is giving her back. Now, this is a bad situation because Abram should have been going to rescue her, but he's the one got her in trouble in this jam in the first place. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And I said before, I'll say it again, that was one long ride home, I am sure. She's in the front seat of the car going home now with the guy who sent her all the way to Pharaoh's house. They are literally being thrown out of Egypt. When's the last time you as a Christian got thrown out of the bar? Thrown out of, come on now. And Pharaoh proved to be, and now this is a sad statement I'm about to make. Pharaoh proved to be a much more honorable man than our brother Abraham at this point. This should never be in our life. This is a lesson. We should live with integrity and honor. And I kept going over and I kept going over this and I thought, wow, you know, there's got to be some repentance here. And there was and there is. But I have to tell you that the world sometimes has it straighter. Sometimes they have more integrity. You see it all the time. You know, on on television, you'll see that this leader, this Christian leader, a Christian pastor ran off with so-and-so and did such-and-such. What a bad name. What an impression we leave on the world. And yet, they're doing it right sometimes, you know. So we're entering into chapter 13 here. I'm just going to read a couple verses. And Abram went out of Egypt, he, his wife, not his sister, his wife. And you might, now I'm going to tell you something here. Technically, a technicality was she was a half-sister. He was, but he used this for the purpose of deception. The actual thing he should have said is, she is first my wife. She became his wife. She was the wife. God called her the wife, not the sister. Not one time did God call her the sister. He called her the wife. So he went out of Egypt, he and his wife, that's what the verse says, and all he had, and Lot with him into the south. Number two, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Let's go back and get a second chance, Abram. Let's go back to where we started at the beginning. It's time to start over and get a reset again. Don't you thank God for that? Go back to the place where you're supposed to be in the first place. And do you know that there are people who have left families and homes and churches that need to go back to the place where they were serving God and they loved God and they were doing what they were supposed to be? And there, when he returned, he built an altar to the Lord and he called upon the name of the Lord. That's complete obedience. And I love that. If you take a detour, get back to God, bow your knee at the altar of God, and go forward from there. You know, I think that God decides to bless him. You know, we all have to have do-overs and resets and get things right again and again and again. You know, even during the day, so many times, you know, it's like driving the car, you just make these little adjustments all along. You can't just take your hands off the wheel because you have to constantly make adjustments in life. And we have to constantly be in prayer and constantly be worshiping God. It's not good enough to come to church on Sunday morning and say, that lasts me for the rest of the week, or that's all the Bible I'm going to read, or during the day to not pray during, just, you know, I prayed in the morning, so that's enough. You know, I heard the illustration about the breathing. You know, if I just started breathing and you go, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, the average person takes 280 breaths a day, and I want to get them in the morning so I don't have to breathe anymore for the rest of the day because I know I'm going to take those breaths. It don't work that way. And that's how we need God. We need him every second of every day to be in prayer and communion with God. Don't get far from him. And you can't do it all at once on a Sunday and say, well, then I don't have any, I'm done. No, you're not, because you're going to slip up at some point. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come, the worship team. I don't want to call them a praise team. I want to call them a worship team because they are worshipers. They all have a heart for God. So many, Tony, I know, and so many have been for so many years worshiping God. And we can't just worship God, like I said, like the breathing, and get it over with, so to speak. And we have to be so careful, and what we're going to be talking about next week and is in the Word of God, if you fully obey the Lord your God. You know, how many of us partially, we want to do the good stuff God tells us to do, but if God tells us to do something that's a little bit difficult, like maybe I'm the first thing that comes to mind is to forgive, then we don't want to fully obey God. And it says, and fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today. You know what? And here's what he says will happen if I am careful. I can't be sloppy with the things of God. Here's what it says. All these blessings will come on you. Would you like all the blessings of God to come on you, to come to your house? Would you like God to bring all the blessings to your house? All these blessings will come on you and accompany you. They're going to be with you and stay with you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, in the country, in the field. the fruit of your womb, your children will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves, the herds, the lambs, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in. You'll be blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies, do you have any enemies? The enemies that hate you, who rise up against you, that they will be defeated in front of your face, that they will come at you from one direction, but they will run from you in seven directions. I am counting on that. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns. You'll have storehouses on everything you put your hand to. If you decide to write a book and you put your hand to it, the Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. You will have land. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, a set apart people. And he promised you as an oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and you walk in his ways, not in your own way, in his way, then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord God, and they will fear you. They will have respect for you. And, you know, I've said this time and time before that I meet with people all the time, and sometimes I'm called to tell them in kindness, I am always kind, the hard, hard truth of their situation. And they may not like that or me, but they will respect me. I have had people actually say that. And that's what it says here. They will respect you. And the Lord will grant you amazing and abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, because he promised this to your forefathers. God has promised them. And as he was with our fathers, so will he be with us.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.